In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He was, and is, and always shall be.
So for several years now, I'm sure it's been going on for quite some time, but it seems like for several years now it's more pronounced and it's more constant. We've heard quite a bit about the state of our economy in this country, particularly in this country, in the world, of course, but particularly in this country. There's lots of discussion, there's lots of arguments, there's lots of disagreements, there's lots of wisdom that's offered, there's lots of projections, prognostications, there's all sorts of discussions. And how it impacts the markets that we're all aware of and many of us may be involved in the stock market, the real estate market, commodities, retail goods, so on and so forth. And the response that we have, that it seems that many people have to certain events that occur in our country or even in the world, has been somewhat interesting, yet at times it's been disturbing to see. I remember back in 2008 when the so-called housing crisis and the crash that occurred, the real estate market was down significantly, and it only then just shortly after or thereafter to recover even higher than it was before in terms of the valuations. Same thing happened just last year around the time of the election with the stock market, if you recall. It was down significantly only to recover on and on and on even to today. And if you look at how many have reacted in response to these and other similar economic events, it is in fact interesting or surprising. And from an investing perspective, if it's only that perspective that we are looking at, the wise ones did not panic, but they saw and they acted on opportunities. So why do I say that? Why do I bring that up? Well, we just heard this gospel message, and we've heard gospel messages from last week, and we will next week, and we are in a time when hopefully our focus is even more intently on the blessings that we have. And so the lessons then are for us as Christian stewards. We should approach our charitable giving. We should approach our stewardship in the same way. We must avoid the panic, the fear, the anxiety, and exercise our faith that our continued generosity will reap benefits far beyond what we can even conceive in our minds or in our hearts. It seems to be really the opposite situation for the rich man that we heard about today in the gospel, the ninth Sunday of Luke. He had recently experienced an economic upturn, an abundance that we heard, an abundance of crops, so much that he didn't have enough space to store this abundance. So he was ready, of course, we heard, to tear down these old barns and build bigger ones to store this abundance. But God, of course, as we heard, rebuked him. In fact, called him a fool. And the closing words of this parable are very instructive. He who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. So therefore, we must then ask ourselves, and this is what the church wants us to do, this is what we should do, and hopefully we will do. Where are we investing our money? Where are we investing our treasures? And I don't mean simply just our money, our financial abundance, but the abundance of the blessings that we have in terms of our time and our talents, in addition to our treasures. Where are we investing them? It really doesn't matter if the economy is good or it's bad. Are we investing these things in ourselves? Are we investing these in building bigger barns, if you will? Or are we investing them in God? Are we investing them in His vineyard? Either we will have the means or we will not. Either we will be of substantial means or we will not. Some of us will be in need of assistance, and the rest of us will be in a position to help. If we can help, therefore, then we must not hold back. In fact, we who have the means have a greater obligation, a greater duty, a greater responsibility, even when the times are tough. Because you see, even in those times, even more people are in need. We must continue investing in the church so that the church may continue to minister to everyone. We must continue to invest in the church so that the church, the body of Christ, that's us, can minister to everyone. We cannot hold back for ourselves, waiting for times to get better. For times to get better, so that we may feel more secure. Worse yet, we cannot keep building or buying bigger barns, bigger houses, bigger cars, bigger vacations, bigger this, bigger that, when others suffer want. We can't even do this when times are good, because building these bigger barns in our lives always means that we are putting more trust in our own abundance, our own riches, than in the mercy of God and His providence to provide us security. Listen to what the psalmist says in part in Psalm 52, verses 5 through 7. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Our Lord says something very similar in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure be also. Where is our heart? That's the message of this gospel. Where is our heart? Is it in the church and her ministries? Or is it our heart in our own possessions? Our heart in our own concept of security? What are the treasures of our life? Whether it be time, talent, or treasures, whether it be money, whether it be family, whether it be ministry, that's where our heart will be. For those of us who consider ourselves without means, consider the gospel reading of this past week, Luke chapter 16. In the parable, Jesus tells of the rich man who had an unjust steward. The rich man demanded that he give back what was entrusted to him. And Jesus offered this following lesson. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And again, we should also think of the poor widow who offered her two coins, Luke chapter 21. Or in the parable of the talents, the steward with one talent, Matthew chapter 25. We who think we do not have the means also have a great responsibility to God to place our trust in Him. Or we should consider the righteous Joachim and Anna, who offered their little 3-year-old daughter Mary to God to live in the temple, not figuratively, but literally. We will celebrate this feast next week.